All right, you guys, we are back with another episode of the Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson Jr. I know it's been a while. I know it's been a while since I gave you guys an episode, but a lot has happened, and today we're going to talk about all of the things. A lot has happened. There have been several mass shootings. The January 6th Commission has started public hearings. Gas prices are all over the world, are all out of whack. Inflation, everything. Oh my God, Biden. We're going to talk about all of the things in today's episode of Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. So let's get into it, baby.
Welcome to the Undisputed Politics Podcast. A young activist, Robert is coming to you from a small town in the Mississippi Delta, Greenwood, Mississippi. He started this podcast to share raw, unfiltered views on issues affecting black and brown communities around the country. From DC to Hollywood, Robert is bringing you the funk with his thoughts on the latest in pop culture and political news. So, buckle up and join us on this ride. Feel free to join Robert in the conversations on Twitter and listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all other major streaming platforms.
All right, so like I said, a lot has happened since the last time I recorded an episode of the Undisputed Politics. And so I'm ready to jump into all of the things that's been going on. And one of the major things that's been going on is the mass shootings that have happened over the last couple of weeks. One of the mass shootings, you have the Uvalde shooting, where the young children at the elementary school were killed by I'm not gonna even mention the names of these foolish people, but they were the children were killed by a domestic terrorist. Then you go back to before that, you had the grocery store shooting where the young man got out the grocery store in this predominantly black neighborhood, and he did this whole manifesto thing and all of that good stuff before he decided to go do it. Not all of that good stuff. He did all that bullshit online, and somehow the FBI and everybody else can find out stuff that black people doing online. Rap artists, they can bring up their criminal history and all this other stuff, the stuff that they talk about in their rap videos and in their music and stuff when they try to convict them at trials, but somehow you can't find out what you need to find out about these domestic terrorists that are going to kill children and families and things like that at grocery stores, at churches, and all type of events and different things like that. But that's neither here nor there. But the conversation has been going on about all of that. Specifically, what's been going on really big in the news right now is the Uvalde shooting. Not to take away from the grocery store shooting, but a lot of the conversation are going on with the Uvalde shooting is surrounded about, you know, the police interaction with the school, who was in charge, why was there not as much as much action that should have been happening, because all we hear from Republicans and people when it comes down to these shooting and things is, oh, we need more guns, oh, we need more police protection in the schools and all these different things. And so the conversation has been around, why didn't the police and different things like that stop all these kids from getting killed on that particular day? And so you have a lot of things coming out. Right now you have the school district hiring a lawyer because they don't want to release things to the public. A lot of different things surrounding it. And a lot of the conversation is surrounding all of that. You have people like Ted Cruz, of course, and all the others coming out saying all the bullshit that they normally come out with, talking about how Democrats are trying to take away your guns and all of that stuff, which we all know is not the case. And the thing for me, this is how I feel about it. I'm going to say it, and I don't give a damn how a lot of people feel. You know, this show is unfiltered. I'm raw about what I feel, my views on different things. And the biggest thing that I feel with this particular situation when it comes down to the gun violence and the issues and things like that that are affecting us in this country, especially when it comes down to these mass shootings and different things, the reason why we have so America has become infatuated with guns. I don't own any guns personally. And part of that is because for me, it's my mental health. I know that I'm not a mentally stable person. I have battled with depression. I have battled with anxiety. I have attempted suicide before. And so for me, I don't want a weapon, because even though I'm in a good place right now, next week, on down the line, a month from now, I'm not sure if I will be in a good place then. And so I don't want to put myself in a situation where I could possibly use my weapon to hurt myself or to harm anybody else. And people say, well, that's not fair to say, and all of it. I know from experience what it's like to be suicidal, what it's like to be depressed. And when you get into that state of mind, oftentimes you're unable to control what you're doing physically. You're unable to control your mind. And when I have had anxiety attacks in the past, or when I've had things go on where I've attempted suicide, it has taken my friends, it has taken family members to be able to conversate with me and get me in the right headspace to be able to calm me down to the point where I don't harm myself, or to the point where I don't harm anybody else or anything like that. And so that's why I feel like I shouldn't have a gun. Because like I said, the uncertainty of things. People ask me, well, how do you protect your house and all of these things? I have a great security system. There are other weapons that could be utilized outside of guns. I mean, and the thing with me when it comes down to guns is, even if you were to have a gun, who's to say that gun is going to stop somebody from breaking into your house? That gun is going to stop somebody from doing something to you. Somebody can break into my house, and if I don't pull out my gun in time, or if I don't shoot it properly or however, So there are other forms of protection, things like mace, knives, different things like that, in which I do have different things like that that will help me out in the event that something like that, God forbid, happens to me. But my view on that is just that. I feel like we should do a better job on background checks. I feel like we should ban these assault weapons, period. There's no reason why people should have guns that are able to kill such large number of people in such a short amount of time like that. There's just no reason why. This is not Iraq. It's not somewhere over across seas where we're fighting some type of war. People should not have access to these weapons, period. You have people who say, well, the guns are used for hunting. Come on now. At this point, we have, every week there's a new mass shooting. Every week there's something, people are at grocery stores. This is ongoing in the black community, especially in the black community. We have black boys and girls being shot down daily. And so the conversation needs to be had, that it's time that we make some changes. You can't continue doing the same thing and expect different results. We can't continue saying, oh, well, mental health for Republicans. For Republicans, the excuse is always, well, mental health. Okay, then what are the laws we're going to put in place to address mental health when it comes down to these mass shootings? Then you have the Democrats who say, well, it's a gun control problem. Okay, well, you have control of the Senate and you have control of the House right now. What are you going to do? You have control of the White House too. I don't want to hear anything about a filibuster and all of that stuff. Because if it was truly something that we really wanted to get done, the same way we got the COVID relief package and all these other things done, we somehow managed to get 60 votes for that, we can get together with people and make some type of compromise on gun control. Even if it's just the small things. There are enough Republicans to get the small things done. We may not get everything we want, but we have to do something different. And that's what I feel like. And that's where I'm at on this particular situation. My prayers go out to all of the families who were involved in the Buffalo shooting and the Uvalde shooting and several other mass shootings that have happened since. my heart goes out to those families. My heart goes out to all of the black mothers and the black fathers who and the families of people who are losing their loved ones daily in the black community due to gun violence. So my heart just goes out to everybody. And the only thing I can really say from the perspective of this particular podcast is call your senators. Get on the phone with your Congress people. We got to stop being scared because, okay, the filibuster. Okay, still, we have an obligation. They have an obligation. And so we must do our part in this. And I call your senators, call your Congress people, tell them that we need gun control now. Period. No more discussions. No more pretending like we're going to do something and not doing it. Period. We got to do something. That's just my thoughts on it. We'll be right back after this quick break. On the next portion of the episode, I'll be discussing the January 6th insurrection. And oh my gosh, y'all, the hearings have been... Yeah, we're going to talk about it after this quick break. We're going to talk about it after this quick break, y'all. Be right back.
On February 14th, 2018, students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School experienced one of the deadliest school shootings in U.S. history. On March 24th, they led the largest youth-led protest since Vietnam. And nothing has changed.
I keep seeing so many young people like asking, begging politicians to just give a f***, to just care, to just talk about it just a little bit.
Since then, we've seen over 170,000 more lives lost to gun violence. And this is your response?
In this terrible tragedy, we send our thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Each of these body bags represents 150 lives. That's people's families, friends, loved ones.
And not a single piece of federal legislation to end this crisis.
How many more thoughts and prayers are you going to give us until we start acknowledging the fact that thoughts and prayers in this country have become deadly?
I guess your tweets didn't work. So what's your plan now?
Donald Trump was at the center of this conspiracy. And ultimately, Donald Trump, the President of the United States, spurred a mob of domestic enemies of the Constitution to march down the Capitol and subvert American democracy. Any legal jargon you hear about seditious conspiracy, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States boils down to this. January 6th was the culmination of an attempted coup.
Over multiple months, Donald Trump oversaw and coordinated a sophisticated 7-part plan to overturn the presidential election and prevent the transfer of presidential power. You will hear about members of the Trump cabinet discussing the possibility of invoking the 25th Amendment and replacing the President of the United States. You will hear that President Trump was yelling and, quote, really angry at advisors who told him he needed to be doing something more. And aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the President responded with this sentiment, quote, maybe our supporters have the right idea. Mike Pence, quote, deserves it.
I made it clear I did not agree idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was bull. And, you know, I didn't want to be a part of it. And that's one of the reasons that went into me deciding to leave when I did.
What I saw was just a war scene. It was something like I'd seen out of the movies. I couldn't believe my eyes. There were officers on the ground, you know, they were bleeding, they were throwing up, they were, you know, they had, I saw friends with blood all over their faces. I was slipping in people's blood. I was catching people as they fell. It was carnage, it was chaos.
All right, so the January 6th Commission has started the public hearings. And It's, I'm not going to say it's been made for TV because quite honestly, ain't that many people been watching. We going to be honest. And we all know the impeachment hearings, that was made for TV. You know, there have been hearings that have been more widely viewed, that have a lot of interest has been in them. And a lot of people have watched them and tuned in for them. But I haven't been, just from my perspective, being somebody who's active in the community, different things like that, I haven't been seeing too many people actually excited and, you know, too many people that are at work or, you know, just talking about it. For instance, like the impeachment hearings, the different things like that. So that's why I say it's not really been made for TV. And a lot of people have been saying on social media platforms, different things like that, that it's made for TV. And I don't really think that it is. But nonetheless, the hearings have been going on, and the hearings have been, the committee is chaired by the very own Congressman Benny G. Thompson of my congressman here in Mississippi. And he's been doing a pretty good job, if you ask me. I work a 9-to-5, so obviously I'm not able to watch every second of the hearings as they go on, but I am able to watch, you know, the recaps during the evening time to give me the information that I do need to be able to analyze and be able to understand what happened. And quite honestly, if you're into politics, you remember January 6th. You don't really need, you know, a hearing to tell you exactly what happened. We all saw it unfold on TV. If you were somebody like me who were deeply into politics at the time, and I still am, on January 6th, I distinctly remember I was watching TV that day. They were certifying the election, of course. And it was a normal day for news purposes, I'll say it like that. Obviously, if you were tuned into CNN and different things like that, you know, they had their panels and all of the things. And as the day kind of progressed, I'll say things just deteriorated real quick. Things deteriorated real quick. And like I said, if you were tuned in, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you don't really necessarily need anybody to tell you exactly what happened. We all know it was a riot. We all know it was an attempt at an insurrection. And so we all know exactly what happened that day. But the hearings are just to give you I'll say it like this. The hearings are to give you behind the scenes things that we didn't necessarily already know. Adding on to things that we do know. We know Donald Trump is responsible. We know. But what we don't know is exactly how were some of these other people responsible. These hearings are exposing Congress people who held official visits in the halls of Congress the day before, who gave tours, who were giving out information on where certain Congress members were the day of the insurrection, where they were hiding. So these hearings are more about exposing the truths that we already knew. And for that, I'm proud. Now, we know that it won't yield too much. You already got people talking about how partisan it is and all of this stuff. But the only reason why it's partisan is because Republicans didn't want to do their part to begin with. Period. Republicans didn't want to do their part to begin with. They didn't want any hearings. And so we're stuck with this partisan committee because Republicans did not want to do what was right. And for Democrats and Republicans, we know, we already know, more than likely, just like back in 2010, November is about to come around. More than likely, Democrats are going to lose the House and the Senate. That it's almost at this point imminent. And I'm not saying that to make anybody not go out and vote or anything like that, but it's almost imminent. Because I watch on social media. I see what everything that everybody's saying. People aren't paying attention to the committee hearings. People are more focused on inflation and gas prices. And the Republicans are driving the bandwagon and making it seem like this is something that Biden is responsible for. But we can all be clear that inflation and gas prices were going to be up regardless of who was in the White House. Because Biden, the president, whether it was going to be Trump or Biden, they don't control these billionaires. Now, they probably would have liked it more if Trump had been there. But you can almost guarantee that after 2 years of being in a pandemic, and we're still in a pandemic, the prices was going to be high. Food costs were going to be high. Gas prices were going to be high regardless. Because billionaires are all about profits, making their money. They don't care if we don't have the money to be able to do these things. And that's the reason why the Poor People's Campaign is out here in the streets fighting for minimum wage, $15 an hour. That's why people are saying that Biden needs to do more when it comes to forgiving student loans. That's why people are saying that Biden needs to do more when it comes down to criminal justice reform, voting rights. Because all of these things are things that we put them in there for. Now, granted, we know we weren't going to get it all. We know we weren't going to get exactly everything that we were asking for. But we aren't getting anything. And for the people who want to blame this on Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris is not the president. When Obama failed, nobody blamed Biden. People chastised Obama, saying that he didn't have enough of a black agenda, saying he didn't have that much of a black agenda. He didn't give us enough. People said that he had more of a gay agenda, LGBTQ agenda, than he had a black agenda. And they blamed him. I need people to keep that same energy for Biden. See, because when Kamala Harris ran for president, people didn't want her. She had to drop out of the primaries. So now that she's vice president, I need people to give her vice president responsibility. Hold her accountable for being the vice president. Now, I hold her accountable for her lack of communication, I'll say, as it comes down to what her role is within the administration. Because she's doing a lot of things, but I don't think she's communicating well enough a lot of things that she's doing. Yeah, I give her criticism because I do feel like she's not pushing, and I'm not seeing that she has enough of a voice when it comes down to these black issues within this administration. I'm not seeing Kamala Harris be the forefront and say anything about this George Floyd bill. I'm not seeing her be the forefront about the George Floyd bill, the John Lewis Voting Act. I'm not seeing her be in the forefront of this. She should be, as vice president, she should be going to the White House to say something about it and say something about this. She should be the one posting on her social medias daily, because we elected you under the presumption that you would be the voice in the room for black people. So I get her the criticism for that. But as for inflation, gas prices, Ukraine, gun laws, I'm not going to give Kamala Harris I'm not going to critique her for that, because it's not her job to set the agenda for all of that. It's not her job to have the bully pulpit, to bully the Congress people, the senators, to do their jobs. That's the president's job. And so we shouldn't put everything on the back of this black woman, because it's not her job. Her job is to be the helpmate. Her job is to be the second in command. Her job is to focus on things specific to what we voted her in there for. We voted her in there to be the black voice. We didn't vote her in there to be the voice. We voted her in there to be the black voice. We voted the voice in Joe Biden. And so we expect him. We want to see more from him, and I'm not getting anything. Yeah, they've done some things for HBCUs. Yeah, they put out some good budgets. But what else are you doing? You did what you needed to do for COVID. I'll admit it. You've done what you needed to do for COVID. COVID numbers are down so good to the point where right now a lot of people feel like the pandemic is over when it's not. So, yeah, you've done what you needed to do for COVID. Though the pandemic is still going on, the numbers are down low enough for people to start getting back to some form of normalcy. So I'll give you that. But this administration isn't doing enough. And as it relates to this January 6th commission, the communication is just off. Nobody from the administration is speaking up enough to tell us exactly what is going on with this commission, telling us what is happening with this commission. Nobody is really the forefront on this. We should be getting daily briefings every single day on black media, letting black media know, letting black people know that this is what they tried to do because y'all voted. Y'all went out in droves in 2020, and this is what they tried to do. They tried to overturn the election because y'all went out in droves. Imagine had this had happened back in 2009, when Obama was elected. Yeah, it was a few instances of people burning up cars, different things like that. But nobody attempted an insurrection. So we know something is happening in this country. And so black people got to get ready. What we know from that insurrection is that we got to get ready. We got to get ready. Now, I'm not one to call for violence. But I see when we're headed that direction. And with Republicans standing firm on their rights to have bare arms and have so many guns and different things like that, we've got to be ready. We got to stand up. We got to be ready. We need to train our communities how to be safe when it comes down to weapons. I don't necessarily think everybody needs a weapon, but if we're going to have them, we got to be trained and be properly ready for what is about to happen. Because come November, if we don't go out and vote and we don't do what we got to do, and if we don't continue to push Biden and this administration to give us the things that we need, we finna be in for a hell of a ride. And so that's just my thoughts on that. Like I said, a lot has been going on with the January 6th Commission. And so if you tuned in to them, great. It's a lot of information that needs to be shared. Really too much for me to even be trying to share in my quick podcast that I'm trying to do this week. But next week I'll kind of do a breakdown of the entire hearings and just give you a little bit more information about what it all has transpired. A lot of the interviews that have been shared, a lot of the videos that have been shared. You know that there was a young lady who was murdered during this incident. Afterwards, we had a few Capitol Police members committed suicide. Just different things that went on with this. And so there's a lot to be shared about the January 6th insurrection. So I encourage everybody, if you're at work during the daytime or however, tune in to the recaps and different things like that to get the information that you need. Yeah, that's all I have on that. All right, so that's all I have for today's episode of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson Jr. I'm excited to be back with you guys. I know this was a fairly short episode, but we will be getting back into the swing of things next week with a full episode. I will be having some great topics next week, and we will be having one of our special interview segments at the beginning of the show. So definitely tune in to next week's episode of The Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson. Thanks again for listening, and we're out.